One of the best ways to learn about the place where you live is to walk it. By getting out of your car and keeping your eyes off of your phone, you can get an up-close look at the buildings, landscapes, smells, and sounds that make up the streetscape. It's an enriching way to learn about what is happening in your neighborhood, and depending on what you see, it might prompt you to further explore its past. Indianapolis artist Kip Normand is an expert when it comes to finding the beauty and history of things from the past, be it objects or architecture. I recently joined a group of 50 other pedestrians as Kip took us on a downtown walking tour of what he called Indianapolis oddities.
Thank you so much. Welcome to the Magical History Tour. It's so nice to see all of you happy history buffs here in the East Plaza of the Lovely City Market.
My name is Kip Normand, and I guess my title is artist slash historian, local character.
Why don't you all give me a show of hands? Who's a native? Who's a native Indianapolitan? Oh, good. I'm so glad.
Okay.
Indianapolitan is the proper term for a resident of Indianapolis. You know that, don't you? Indianapolitan. Say it with me.
Indianapolitan.
Yes.
Big Car organized the series of walking tours as a way to encourage people to get out and explore the city.
Elizabeth Nash, staff artist of public programming and outreach. Spark Placemaking had done Walking Wednesday at Monument Circle, and so I looked back through the other Walking Wednesday tours that we had done and thought about which ones would still make sense for City Market area.
But here's the fantastic City Market building, designed by D.A. Bolin, one of the most marvelous architects in mid to late 19th century Indianapolis. He did a number of really terrific buildings in this city, very few of which survived.
My background is in American history. I have a master's from the University of Notre Dame, but it's a particular type of approach to American history called American Studies, where they encourage you to look at the culture of the past as an entire culture. One of my professors at school taught us how to read the city. Like, literally, you could go to any city in the United States, and judging by your knowledge of architectural history, you can determine when the city was settled, what were the patterns of what was the industrial area, how did things move and transition. Can identify the different periods of prosperity from building booms. And it's just a really fascinating way to read the record of a city by its physical presence.
The Circle Theater was built in 1916, and at that time, the movie industry was still kind of in its infancy.
For me, to approach a project like leading a tour, it's just pure fun. But I try to think of it as performance in a way.
I'm so glad I have this newfangled voice enhancement device. Last time we did this, the amplifier broke like early on in the tour, and then I had to use a bullhorn for a while. Then the bullhorn quit, so then I was just shouting at the end. It was fun. We had a good time.
I'm fortunate enough to actually have bound copies of some old newspapers from Indianapolis. I love to read the advertisements. I love to read what was going on and just the silly social columns. And, you know, in addition to the headlines of what might have been national news, there was this really rich reportage of the experiences of everyone in Indianapolis every day.
I have upholstered myself in appropriately historic attire for your benefit. So I'm enduring the summer heat. But just as an example, I would like to point out this hat from Harry Levinson, your hatter, purchased right here in Indianapolis probably in the 1930s or so.
I wear the funny outfit and make a sign and try to have music and look for stories that connect people to old buildings that still exist, but also get them to try to use their imagination, their mind's eye, and picture buildings that no longer exist and how people used them and the things that they did there.
And the building we're standing in front of now is the Empire Theater. Yes, indeed. Constructed in the early 1890s, it was a burlesque house.
Nancy Waters. I live in Beech Grove now, but I'm originally from Collegeville, Pennsylvania.
Have you learned anything new yet?
Well, that lamppost, yeah, you know, that being the last one in the city was new.
Some of you who are old building fans might be familiar with the Flatiron Building in New York. That's probably the most famous triangular-shaped building. But here in Indianapolis, we had one that was, I think, my favorite. And that was the Great Knights of Pythias Building, which used to stand right here at the corner of Ohio and Pennsylvania Street.
People don't understand much about the average person's life in the 19th century. If you care enough to look at these things, you see old photographs are always in black and white. We don't realize how colorful the people's clothes were, the things that they pursued. They had time to read books. They had time for plays.
You can imagine the theater was packed because everybody wanted to see if Isadora Duncan could do her act.
They had time to join singing societies and weird organizations that would dress up in funny costumes and put on parades and stuff.
But here's where the Knights of Pythias used to be. And if you were a member of the Knights of Pythias, that was great because then you could have access to insurance and you had a support group. And they held these interesting ritual meetings where they would make people memorize stuff and they put on a lot of plays. When you think about these serious men in the 19th century, and they would go to their lodge and they would play dress up. Apparently Pythias was a soldier, and so they would dress up as knights, you know, like Sir Lancelot, and they would do all these plays. And when you see, look up these photographs of the Knights of Pythias, when they have parades and things, they're wearing kind of, you know, military uniforms, and they look pretty respectable. But then when you see what they do at their meetings, it's like, whoa! You know? Give me a movie reference, like Shrek or something, you know? It's like medieval times. Anyway, I love the Knights of Pythias, so check out their outfits.
I like to take the shreds and the remainders of history and put them together in a new way and use it as a way to tell stories.
I want to point out and ask you to all say a kind memory for Mayor Charles Buchholter, who actually got to make a speech at the dedication of this building, although he was no longer the mayor. That was Lou Shank. But he made the speech and said, "I am myself a citizen of no mean city." Now, you have to understand what that quote is what does mean mean exactly? Mean just doesn't mean angry. Mean can be ignorant and stingy, not as good as you could be. So what Charles Buchholter was saying is that it's time to stop operating our government in rented offices in the basement of some crappy office building. Now we have a real place where people can come to the city county, come to the city council meetings, can visit people in offices and talk to them about their problems and things that they need. We're no longer a second-rate city because of this building. So when you see that slogan, "No Mean City," that's what that is referring to.
Maurice Broaddus, I'm from Indianapolis.
And Sally Broaddus from Indianapolis.
Why are you guys on the tour tonight?
Well, I've always been fascinated by a lot of the history of Indianapolis. I'm a writer, and I said a lot of my stories here in Indianapolis, and so just I love peeling back the history and layers of the town.
You see that this parking lot goes this way and then angles over to Virginia Avenue. That's a very unusual shape for this parking lot to take. The reason for that is because it occupies the site of a building that was glorious and wonderful and had a front on Washington Street and also Virginia Avenue. And it was the first enclosed mall in Indianapolis. It was called the Pembroke Arcade.
I heard Kip was doing it, and Kip's a good storyteller, so I wanted to go check it out.
But my favorite photograph of Houdini was the time that he came, and this is the theater where he performed. This was Keith's Theater. It was a vaudeville house. You entered through the mid-door here. Later on, they remodeled the building and turned it into the Consolidated Building, added a new front to it, but there used to be a theater like toward the back of the building, just right down the street from the Empire. You know, they're all kind of together. There was a number of theaters along this street. Well, not quite the Red Light District. That's a different neighborhood. That's another tour entirely. Stay tuned.
I want people to be proud of Indianapolis, to find inspiration in the stories of the people who have lived here.
Clemens Vonnegut had a great history of philanthropy and caring for the cultural life of Indianapolis, but he was also an incredibly interesting man. And his hardware store was right over here.
Many of them excelled under adverse conditions and overcame great injustices and invented things and wrote fantastic books and made fantastic art and just lived lives that were certainly worthy of investigation and worthy of our interest.
Well, we're standing here for a moment. We're going to talk about a disaster. And one of the most tragic fires occurred in 1890 in a bookstore called the Bowen Merrill Bookstore, which was right next to the Wasson's building, like right about where that rock bottom sign is. I think maybe there's a historic marker.
Today, I think we have about 50 people here. The reaction was huge. People seem to really enjoy them and are seeking ways to get out in the city and learn about interesting things.
And one of my favorites was the English Hotel and Opera House, which was located here. It was constructed by William English, namesake of the English Foundation, one of the most well-to-do philanthropists and early businessmen here in Indianapolis. And the English family mansion was right at this corner here. There was a church building on the other end.
I think a lot of people are particularly interested in the stories that aren't often told. What were some of the details? What were some of the quirky things about this city? If you're curious enough to look through those old history books and through those newspapers, you can find a lot of things that are fascinating about Indianapolis.
And that was one of my favorite buildings. It was called the Wynn Department Store. It was a department store that was completed in the late 1870s by a man who had traveled to Paris and had seen the beautiful department stores in Paris. And he wanted to have one here in Indianapolis, so he built this wonderful French-style building that had an atrium that went all four floors up with up a green glass skylight above, and then around the inside of the atrium there were plaster mermaids and naked nymphs swimming. Back in the day, I used to work with a number of people that did architectural salvage, and one of my greatest adventures was coming to see the remains of the Wynn building just as they were getting ready to tear it down to build this lovely edifice that we see before us. But by the time we got in there, we started to pull down some of the nasty wood paneling like the Brady Bench had, you know, and we pulled down the drop ceiling, and there's one point where you could see up into that atrium, and those plaster mermaids were still there on the walls, and some of that green glass was still up there. And we shined our flashlights and crisscrossing around there. It was absolutely magical because it was so dark. And we're shining, and there's like 1875 staring at the face with that gilded expression.
I think that as we move into our second century as a city, that the city government and the other folks that are interested in setting the new direction for design and for planning in Indianapolis, that they're really interested in seeing the city grow in a way that's much more thoughtful and sustainable and beautiful and interesting. And I think that that just means it's going to get better and better.
I hope you enjoyed our time together. I certainly have. And you know your way back to the city market is right here.
The Walking Wednesday tours are free and take place on a regular basis.